Welcome to his SB Pod. Last one of May. Just me and Stanford Steve. No Gordo. People are bummed out about that.
You got to let him go. He's out on an island, I think, somewhere.
Is he?
Yep. Still firing, tweeting.
That's good. I need to check his FRLs. He was a week early on Harris English. English played pretty well down at Colonial.
Yeah. Last Sunday.
Yeah, but still, he's in the mix for the FRL.
He was in the mix.
In the mix. But it's just me and Steve. As May comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got an NBA Finals to discuss. We've got a Stanley Cup Final to discuss. The breaks in between are entirely too long.
What do you mean?
We're in the content biz. We need games. I need games. I mean, this is really about us, isn't it? Like, we'd like the games. We'd like the games, please. We've had so much sweepery going on here. You've had people done for quite some time. The Panthers have been on ice for a while. Michael Malone and the Nuggets have been just hanging, waiting for that Eastern Conference Final to get finished up. And it did with Miami going into Boston and winning. And everything about sports that's great was wrapped up in that game because it had been handed to Boston before the game was even played, hadn't it?
Depends who you listen to.
I just felt like the chatter was, and this is the whole, this isn't just some guy on Twitter. I just feel like give Charles credit. Charles told Jaylen Brown when he got up from the set with the fellas from inside, he's like, hey, you got to go win game seven. None of this matters if you don't win game seven. James and Jaylen's like, I got you. And Charles is right. Charles is right. You dig out of the hole and you get smoked at home like that. There's so much that was into it, that was cooked into it. It's Boston's reliance on shooting threes. They were 9 of 42 in that game, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 15 in the first quarter. Jaylen Brown turned it over 8 times. Tatum hurt his ankle early. But Miami just was, they gave themselves confidence with that first quarter, which allowed them to believe. And the longer it goes on, the more hard it becomes for Boston to find oxygen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought the Heat were better and tougher over the course of the series.
I agree.
That showed up in seven.
I agree. And that's what makes it so interesting when there's people that are like, well, Boston was better. Did you watch the series? In what way were they better?
Mm.
And they got a tip in with 0.1 on the clock or else they get beaten this 7-game series 5-2. Miami dominated the first and the last games, the third and the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated. And Caleb Martin was awesome. That to me is the most interesting thing about it. The more I thought about the game today, and we're talking on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I get confused. Holiday weekend, things of that nature. Caleb Martin's the most interesting thing a day later, because when he was at Nevada, that was when Muss was there, right?
Yeah.
We watched him a bunch. They were fun. And he was good. But, I mean, we watched lots of college basketball. I mean, if you told me when I was watching him, hey, that dude right there? Yeah, which one? Which one of the Martins? Mm-hmm. That one. He's going to be a badass in the NBA, and he's going to be a difference maker in a 7-game playoff series at Boston, staring into the eyes of the rage machine that is Boston fandom. And that's a compliment, by the way. Like, if you can stare them down and not blink, brother, you're a tough, tough hombre. And that's what the Heat are. If you told me, hey, this guy right here, he's going to be arguably the best player in the series. I get that Butler is Butler. I'm not saying he wasn't great. He was great. Mm-hmm. Martin was the second best player they had. That's mind boggling to me. I don't know where that comes from, but I love seeing it when it happens, when a guy has a chance and absolutely grabs a hold of it with both hands. And part of it's because Hero gets hurt and someone's got to be, step forward and be a guy. But he was everything that they needed. And meanwhile, Boston, I mean, I really like Jaylen Brown a lot as a person, as a player. Like, are you paying him $300 million this summer? That's a tough one. isn't it?
It's tough to say right now after he just played probably his worst game of the year. Yeah. But, you know, that's, you know, what we do now. He gets asked about it in the postgame press conference. And that's what we just do. We just go to what's next as soon as we can.
Yeah. And we're using, you know, a lens of the worst game he could possibly have played. It doesn't mean he's not an excellent player. He is. It's just you've seen what they are, this duo together. And I mean, it's easy to say, oh, they like Perk came on with this and said, oh, you know, go get Dame Lillard and trade. And it's not like, okay. I mean, this is the one thing I'm terrible at talking about sports that I'm not, Russillo, Simmons, guys of that nature, the trade machines and this and that. I'm terrible at it. I don't know who they should do for what you could get, whose contracts match up. I have no clue. I just like Brown a lot, and he was awful in a game that they needed him to be better than awful in. But Miami, you said it. They were tougher. They were better. People that are like, Boston was a better team. I vehemently disagree with you. Miami demonstrated for seven games that more often than not, they were the better team.
Yeah, I just, now that we're here in the NBA Finals, I just find it fast. Doesn't it feel like you're watching a totally different brand of basketball?
Than what?
Than what you watched in the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, like I just think about what you see, you know, everybody, you know, with the Game 7 unders, obviously, talking about that. But I just, you know, the ESPN analytics team, going 97-3 and percentage chance to win. And I think that has to be reassessed, obviously, because it's a different game. It's a totally different game than what I watched during the regular season. And I don't know how you calculate that, but that's why I just keep going back to the Heat. They were better. They were tougher. You're going to face stuff in the playoffs that you don't face in a regular season. I thought Miami's zone just totally stifled the Celtics. And what, you know, the Celtics didn't help themselves at all because they went, like you said, 9-42 from three. So I don't know. I just found it, you know, the Heat, what was it down? I forgot what they were down with 3 minutes left in that second playing game. And now they're in the,
I thought they're going to lose to the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls had them. I thought.
Yep. Yeah, they're down with, I think it was 3 minutes, 3:40, something like that.
Yeah, your guy AC Fresh was on with JJ Redick talking about that. Mm-hmm. This happens from time to time. You see a team that looks like they could lose in a, you know, an early round matchup in a tournament game, and then they survive, and then they go deep. But then obviously it's totally different because you got, you know, best of seven situation. I want to go back to the analytic piece you mentioned with Boston. And I mean, look, our analytics get crushed. And, you know, when you give a team a 3% chance, and then they're up 2-0 in the series, and you give them a 35% chance. It's like, what? And I mean, the receipts would have been just incredible from the ESPN analytics account on Twitter had Boston ended up winning. They didn't. And the thing that I would say, not in defense of that tweet, but just that the company that clearly ESPN analytics had is Vegas. Vegas made them favorites throughout. Vegas made them favorites in game three, down 2-0 on the road in Miami. Vegas made them gigantic favorites again yesterday, despite the fact that I was reading the Action Networks put this out today on Twitter. The Celtics tied for the most losses as a favorite in a single season in 20 years. They lost 29 times a favorite. So analytically, ours and Vegas's saw something with Boston that made them think that they were something that they weren't in the playoffs. And you hit on a key sort of component here, is that it's the playoffs. And there's just an entirely different mentality. There's an entirely different roster availability. And in this series, you got a guy in Spo who has been through it and a guy in Missoula who hasn't. Mm-hmm. And I give Spoelstra so much credit. Game six ends, and he walks to the podium and says, "We wish the game could start right now." And you know what, Steve? Like, there are coaches who I would look at that and maybe eye roll and feel and think it feels like they're reading their lines. Not him.
Mm-mm.
Not him. I said it on SportsCenter with Brian Windhorst and with Perk that like it didn't feel like he was projecting or protecting or performative. I think he meant it. He's like, we're going to figure out how to win this game. And organizationally, they just are like, yeah, we will. And maybe part of it's Pat Riley. Maybe part of it's Alonzo Mourning, like that whole group. Our guy Tough Juice on that bench. I'd love to pick his brain about that at some point. And someday we will.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when the finals are done, we get Karan on here and just ask him about it all. I just love to kind of go in like inside the 24 hours after you lose game six. You got to go into the belly of the freaking beast. And you don't blink, and you're tougher, and you're better, and you go in and kick their ass. That's nuts to me, what they did. But yeah. but this Boston team all year long, analytics in Vegas saw something, and they kept representing it at the window, and it kept time and time again. It kept not being accurate. I you're right. I don't know what that's about. I mean, it's easy to say it's playoff basketball. What's that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean people are wired different? That they're tougher?
Is it possible not to calculate?
It'd be nice. No, because obviously the smart people that have figured everything out, there's ways to measure all of it.
Oh,
you mean, wait, there's actually human beings involved in this and
yeah.
not everything is a math equation. I'll be damned.
Mm.
Fun to watch though. Fun to watch. The game wasn't great, I'll grant you, but I think there's beauty in the ugliness. If you kind of get what you're looking at, and you see the tension. You see one team grabbing the wheel like white knuckle, and the other team's just like that crazy kind of bar fight that's like, come on.
I just the mentality of it all too, Scott. I never played in a series in my life. And to see these championships decided on that, and I think, you know, growing up, you know, it was Lakers, Celtics, but like think about what had to happen for that to happen as many times as it did. But also, you know, watching The Last Dance with Jordan, knowing that he wasn't going to get to the top of the mountain until he beat the Pistons. And I just, it's so fascinating when you think about lacing him up and going seven times. And then you look at the Celtics, they did it the series before. And you look at the Heat being as close as they were in a one-game scenario and then taking taking the Bucks out and you know, when Giannis played half the series that was played. But I just it's something I can never wrap my head around, but it's got to be you go back to that coaching staff with the Heat. They've been there so many times that there's definitely some stuff that's instilled, man. And it gets talked about. Perk talked about how Spoelstra's never won Coach of the Year. I don't know if he's been, you know, in the position for that award. Like sometimes it just doesn't happen. I mean, a lot of times I think the numbers say you don't want to win NBA Coach of the Year.
No, I mean, they all get fired a couple years later. Look, everyone just looked at him as being along for the ride with the, you know, the Heat Index group and dismissed who he was and what they've been in the last few years completely changes that.
Yeah.
Now, if Denver, who dismissed Booker and KD, like, okay, see ya. They didn't sweep them.
It was 2-2.
I understand that, but then they got rid of them. Mm-hmm. They got rid of them, and then they swept the Lakers. They said see ya to them.
Every game was close.
Also true. Well, I mean, look, a lot of the Stanley Cup playoff games are close, but if you win, you win. And you get the right, like, okay, they've been resting, and now what I'm getting at is changing perception. And I think Spo in these last couple of years getting Miami to these finals, I think you changed the perception of it. You weren't just the guy who got to sit in the seat of the fast car. Mm-hmm. You know, you had something to do with driving it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Denver and Nikola Jokic roll into a title, a lot of people that were dismissive of him and wanted to make fun of advanced analytics and he wasn't whatever the people suggested he was, they're going to try to go back and try to change their vote. try to act like they didn't dismiss him. Try to act like they weren't down on him being an MVP because he didn't make deep playoff runs. But, I mean, his numbers are astounding. Murray's are too. That team They're monstrous favorites for a reason. I think Denver will win, but saying that out loud after what Miami just did, having gone on the road to win as many as they did against Boston, going on the road the way they did against Milwaukee, it feels tenuous to me. I mean, like, what was the number we showed on SportsCenter? They're like minus 300. You get, what's your get back on the Heat?
Plus 260, 250, around there.
I mean, that feels like quite a lot of get back for a team that's shown a, they're more, it's not like the, not like a puncher's chance. Like, I mean, they're in.
Wow. One book I have minus 400 plus 320.
Wow. They're fit for the fight, man.
You're taking them?
No, I think Denver wins the series. I'm saying it out loud after having watched what Miami's done. It feels a little fright. They don't feel like a plus 320 dog is what I'm saying. They feel way more game than that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I think I like Michael Malone
a lot.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a lifer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Son of a coach, grew up in it. I think he's one of those guys that I think he was another guy that people always just kind of eye rolled and dismissed and whatever. Like all year long, like people look for reasons not to think they were the one.
Yeah.
And then it's, well, you know, Dallas. They got, you know, Kyrie. And how about Dallas? How about looking at them? Like, you guys quit. You could have gotten in the play-in situation like Miami did.
Mm-hmm.
You quit in the last game of the season. You should feel really, really badly about that in retrospect. But in the West, where, hey, Dallas gets Kyrie. Oh, let's see what happens. They figure that out or they don't. KD and Booker, but they're going to be when they get together, they'll be nasty. Well, they were. Denver went through them. Lakers figure it out. AD and LeBron and get some role guys and, you know, lean into that experience. All right. It's like kind of ran out of bullets there. And now it's up to Miami to knock them off this number one perch where now all of a sudden there's all this buy-in. I just never felt like in the nights where me and Legs would be doing these segments and he was very pro-Denver that really anyone else was singing their praises. And I guess I get it because they hadn't done it before and people kind of eye-rolled Jokic and just they wanted Embiid to win the MVP. I have no argument with him winning it. I think people are going to retroactively be like, no, I always thought Jokic was good. Did you? Did you?
No, it's, I think it shows what people watch. I think, you know,
that's fair.
Whether you like the word narrative or not, it's obviously out there. I heard Van Gundy talking to Russillo. He hadn't done a Denver game all regular season. That crew didn't do one Nuggets game. I find that crazy.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, then you see the numbers of the Warriors-Lakers series and how many people are watching that. That's pretty eye-opening stuff. But I think it's, to an extent, like a couple of years ago, you and I love that Suns-Bucks series because of the freshness of it and guys on a stage that hadn't been there. And I think you have that here. You have the ultimate underdog, and then you have everybody's MVP who, you know, hasn't had his guys the last couple of years. And, you know, you go back to that bubble. I mean, we're invested in the bubble. I know not as many people were watching it then, but, you know, Denver comes back with a healthy Murray and gets to the Western Conference Finals. So there's so much that this is where I get caught in the predicament too. Cause like, I just want to talk about the guys that are playing and the teams that are playing and the good that we have that's in front of us and, you know, not worried about the teams that lost and what they're going to do in the future. I think this has what you want. I think Miami has enough days off where they can regroup.
You like them?
Oh, I'll have Miami for sure. No doubt.
Okay.
I love the connectivity and the issue is the depth on, they don't have
what Denver's, you know, got.
No, they don't, but they don't have guys to use fouls on Jokic. You know, like Cody Zeller, really? Like that's a tall order.
OG, bro.
But it's not gonna be as easy, I think, as people. I could see a 6-game series for sure.
OG and UD, get him up off the bench.
Yeah, let's see it. Go out in style.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm also biased because I've had Miami a ton in this playoffs, and they've been very, very good to me. Even though the last week I stood in the mirror every day, brushing my teeth, looking at myself and saying, you're the only person in the world that had the Yankees in 04 that blew a 3-0 lead, and I had the Heat that were staring it right in the face. And so that got a lot of my attention week, just staring it right in the face, thinking that that was the ultimate. That's a pretty bad beat.
Yeah, I mean, if you were on both ends of 0-3 leads that got away, or 3-0 leads, I should say. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Jamal Murray. I'm happy for him. He was great in the bubble. People act like the bubble was fake. I don't know why. It wasn't. It was a real thing. He was fantastic. And then he tore his ACL, and you know, now he's back and he's unreal. Michael Porter Jr. was like the number one recruit coming out of high school. He hurt his back a bunch. I mean, he's like an extra dude who's just, oh yeah, here's just like a 6'10 guy with an absolutely pure jumper. You know, he's just a little piece. Gordon, same. He was a huge 5-star guy, and you know, was obviously not in a situation where you could really thrive in Orlando. You're in the perfect spot with this pick and roll offense with Murray and Jokic, where Jokic is like a 7-foot point guard, and Gordon can just feed off of every little. I mean, it's not crumbs. I mean, it's a whole lot more than crumbs, but you can get fat off what you get with Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they play beautiful basketball. And I mean, I understand why people want to watch the Lakers and the Warriors. And I said this last week when people talk about, oh, the ratings and executives are going to be sad. I couldn't care less as it relates to like watch it or don't. But if you like basketball, it's all right here. You know, here's this 2-time MVP that really wasn't that good, or actually he was great and should have won 3 in a row, but people got sick of it, so they gave it to another guy against this Heat team that was in the play-in spot, who's got an absolute superhero in Jimmy Butler and a bunch of, you know, kind of island of misfit toys in this Spo, who was minimized before, who actually is a great coach and is making all this stuff work. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of what makes sports fun, I think.
What also makes this Nuggets team a ton of fun is when your best player is that unselfish. I mean, I just think about growing up and looking at the great point guards that were like Magic and Bird to an extent, like those, like it's just great basketball. And I think everybody just has more kind of like, they're going to get the ball. They're not going to be out on an island. And I get it. The game has changed with guard dominant guys that are scoring guards, whatever you want to call them. But when your best player is that unselfish, man, that's got to be a ton of fun. And I think it gets to that connectivity. And I just, it's awesome to watch. And I'm glad they're on this stage and they got their time.
Yeah, he's just so gifted. Just so gifted. It's astounding to me. And in every phase of the game, every single phase. It's going to be a blast.
If Sam had a coaching opening on his bitty basketball team, would you take Michael Malone or Eric Spoelstra?
Ooh. Apparently the Heat do like daily weigh-ins. I think Sam is a snacker. So while I know he would benefit from Spo, my fear is that he would be terrified of the weigh-in process on a daily basis. Like Windhorst.
You don't think Malone's weighing in Jokic every day?
I don't. I just look at him. I don't know how many pull-ups he could do, or push-ups. Who gives? Like you can. I don't care what your body composition is, bro. Game starts at 8 o'clock. We'll see you out there. I mean, Windhorst said about the Heat, they're not for everybody. So my fear would be that Spo would weigh in my guy Sam, and maybe he got into the Pirates booty. You know,
maybe.
I mean, he definitely did. And I know he'd benefit. He'd probably benefit from the weigh-ins too, if we're being honest. But we'll go with Malone.
Okay.
On the guess that there's less weigh-ins and maybe more snacks.
All right.
I don't pretend to know. You know how much we love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't pretend to know the sport the same way I know basketball, because as Steve and I have explained through the years, Skating, not something we do.
Never even tried, never put on a pair.
And won't. And won't.
Correct.
We're old, our ankles will break, and it'd be a bad scene. I mean, in my case, it might be put me down. You just say, well, that's the end of him. The Florida Panthers story is the best, like as good as the Heat story is. The Heat didn't go through the best NBA team in the history of the NBA. The Panthers did.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers weren't in the playoffs till the last week when the Penguins spit the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got a GM fired in Toronto because they went up there and beat them in five.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sweep Carolina, who was second in the NHL in points.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've done. And like Brenda Moore, after they lost, and to your point about close games, I mean, that was a close series. They could have been completely the other way. Kachuk's been insane. We had Paul Maurice on. I thought he was awesome. Talked about the room, Steve. How did he know that the room's good? What do you say? Everybody's got a dozen nicknames.
Yeah.
And that story is incredible. Absolutely incredible. They weren't in the playoffs. They've gone through an incredible gauntlet to get here. And now they're going to be significant dogs because Vegas is just, I mean, I think top to bottom better, I believe, right? That's the feeling. And I mm-hmm. love the story for Bruce Cassidy. He's the Bruins coach. They get beat by the Hurricanes last year, gets fired. He's on the market for like a week. And then then a guy with a lot of organization, I mean, a lot of sort of understanding of what it is to be on this stage, came within a win of winning a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Golden Knights can hire him. So mm-hmm. he gets a perfect spot. They get a perfect coach. And now here they are four wins away from a Stanley Cup. I think, I mean, it's hardly original six. I mean, you know, Florida and Vegas. I mean, it's not storied, you know, black and white video of Montreal and the Blackhawks or something, but I don't, whatever. Again, this isn't on our network. It's on TNT. We wish the boys the best over there. I'm sure they'll do a great job with it. But to me, that's a fun series as well.
Yeah, I'm worried about Levy. He's going every game. Oh, you got God, South man. Florida and you got Vegas. He's going to need those IV bags in the room, both places. He's done it. What is it? It's got to be close to 30 years.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's ever had this mix.
No.
In LA, New York, but this is South Florida and Vegas. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and what Steve's talking about here, he's not talking about like worrying about him going and like hitting the road and boozing it.
No.
Although, I mean, he's two great spots for getting out and enjoying a nice meal and some camaraderie. Oh,
Leaves knows all the dinner spots.
Yes, he does. Levy's a sweater. Like he sweats when it's cold. So, we're going to South Florida and Vegas in June. So he's going to be absolutely schwitzing like an animal. Pray for Lee. Hashtag.
It's such a fact. He's not. I mean, I don't know. I should
like, say. We're not embellishing.
We don't hang out shirts off, but like, I don't.
You don't.
He's not a hairy guy.
No, I don't think he is.
God, does he sweat?
I don't think being hairy is a like you don't have to be a hairy dude to sweat. Clearly, Levy.
No, but I'm thinking when you think of sweaty guy, I think of hairy guys.
Do you? I don't want to think about any of that. I just know he sweats a lot and pray for leaves.
Yeah.
The thing that's scary about this, where we're at, there's good news, bad news. The good news is we're at the countdown on the calendar here for shows.
Yep.
You guys know the drill. We get to the end of these playoffs and then
you get to the end, okay?
Okay.
Other people will be punching the clock.
Understood. Well, I'm leaving. And then we'll be back later.
Don't ask when.
Eventually.
It'll happen.
The same deal every year. I mean, you guys figure it out. It's like I'm away for a while. No one cares. And then it's like, there he is. The bad news is that we're going to reach that point where after these, you know, we run out of games and then it's not a wasteland, particularly with the Orioles looking the way they look.
Hey, now a couple trips to the park.
We got a squad to follow here, which is exciting. But it's that weird part of the year where there's not as much happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always, it's odd. When you like, we're grinders, like we're punch the clock, do the show, follow the games. Like we enjoy that.
Mm.
And so when you reach the part where you don't have as much happening, it's just an odd part of the calendar, but you know, we'll, especially with the O's, That's exciting. We've earned this. They weren't Oakland bad. That's a bad ball club.
Mm.
They're on pace to win like 30 games, Steve.
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
No.
So I feel like as an Oreo fan, I feel like this has been, you know, we've earned the chance to have a team that's is decent. Got to get up to the yard. That's a good call. But it's, you know, starting to wind it down.
Yep. Kids excited to be out of school soon?
I'm not. I just did that. We did the countdown a day driving my daughter home. And I was like, "What? When's your last day?" And she's like, "A week from tomorrow." And I was like, "And I think I went. What? I think I went. Oh no!" She's like, "What?" I'm like, "No, I mean, I didn't know that. I just lied to her because I didn't say I didn't know. I said, "Oh no."
Yeah.
Because we got to move again this week.
Okay.
I was out to dinner with my wife the other night and we both were just like, how are you doing?
Mm.
Like, how are you? I'm like, you know, it's our life is a strange. It's so weird, man. I mean, we talked about it here in the podcast after the Masters. I mean, we had a fire in our house and I mean, I don't think I'm being dramatic. I'm just being honest. It's the strangest thing, Steve.
Yeah.
It's so freaking weird. You don't know anyone that's more a creature of habit than me. I don't think. Maybe you.
No, didn't. I'm just going to say this and I will let you go.
Okay.
You have been leaving work with to-do lists for the next day. That's how I know to stop asking questions because the man has a lot to do and a lot on his plate. And I just keep thinking, you know, checking in and I'm like, you guys are truly day to day. Like, you don't know anything down the road. You have to take care of what's important. You got the kids, you got school in, and you got activities, the whole thing. And
yes,
you're trying to go about day to day.
Yeah. And that's the part when I realized that we're going to be out of school. And that's where it's like, oh, this is bad.
Mm.
Because we're moving into a permanent temporary or temporary permanent, however you want to frame it. And it's a lovely place, but it's not our house.
Mm.
And like our kids, God bless them. I mean, they've been making do with like a box of magnetiles. And thankfully my daughter likes to read. So books are easy, but like my two guys are just We did a triple crown. We did baseball, basketball, football after school today. That was big.
Okay.
So that's a big win for the group. But it's when you're not in your place where your stuff's at. And where's your stuff, Scott? I don't know. It's in storage somewhere. There were like four different vendors that were involved that came and took stuff. I don't know where it is. I got one of them golden tee games at Christmas time, which took a team of like NASA scientists to get it out of the house. And the kids are like, "Hey, when we move into the new place, can we get the golden tee back?" And I said, I don't know if it works. I mean, cause as we covered, man, when they put a fire out, bro, they put it out. I don't know if it got wet or not. There was no power in the house. I've never turned it back on after that happened. So maybe, but they might bring it to the house, plug it in. It doesn't work. I don't know.
Mm.
But I mean, video game distractions aside, it's just the most, it's such an unsettling feeling to be so cut off from the things that, I'm simple. Like I like to tinker around the house and sit in my office surrounded by all these little knickknacks that the kids had made, little Father's Day gifts that was all the stuff that was on my desk. And it was just a happy place to be. And that doesn't exist right now. And now not only does that little happy place not exist, but that happy place is about to be overrun by three maniacs who don't have school anymore and are going to be looking at me being like, hey,
what are we going to do?
I'm like, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Where's our stuff? We don't have it.
Nope.
Well, can we go out in the back in the pool? Well, there isn't one here. We'll go to a pool. We can.
There you go.
We'll not have flip flops. We'll travel. We'll be fine. We'll figure stuff out. It's just, I can't explain how odd it's been. I left my house in the middle of March to go on vacation and go to the Masters, and I never went back.
Never.
And I mean, I did, but just to see, you know, as we've covered, you know, the house in a state of whatever it was. And I mean, I don't know, we got a meeting like tomorrow with a bunch of people regarding what the plan is. And you've seen, I got a list.
I know you do.
There's a lot on the list.
The problem is the list keeps getting added to, whereas you're hopefully you're crossing stuff off, and that's waiting, not happening.
Right. There's no crossing off. No. Right now, the list is lengthy, and I am going to be asked very pointed questions about when can I begin crossing some things off. If I need to get a Bob the Builder hat and a hammer, I will go to the house.
Get the tool belt.
I will do it my damn self. Just tell me, where am I allowed to start? Just can we begin the process?
Give me a sledgehammer
now, big fella. I could enlist your help. We'll get some suds.
I'm in.
No, we don't need that. I just need to know what's the plan. We need a plan. We need to begin executing the plan, just so we can feel like we're getting some movement towards that. Some movement back towards just having the simple thing that makes you feel like you're home, which is your home. And it's been really feeling adrift. And it's just unsettling because you realize that you both my spouse and I, like, you know, we're both just trying to do the best that we can do to keep the kids are awesome. They're not bummed. They're good, but you got to make sure you got your own mental health sorted out. Right. You got to make sure you're giving yourself enough space to be you good. Everything good. I mean, no joke. You got to make sure that you're kind of processing what you're thinking and feeling. Cause it's, I realized I just feel like I'm living some other person's life. Cause I am where we've been so blessed. As I talked about, to have this home, our neighbors have allowed us to be there, which has been incredible, but like there's stuff's in it. And so thankfully we move into a new house where there isn't anything, because it's long, whatever. No one cares about this. I don't want to talk about it, but it's just, I think it'll be helpful. I think it'll be helpful to be able to say, okay, well, this isn't our house, but we're going to live here for a while. We're going to unpack some stuff. See if we can get my boys, there's golden tea.
And there you go. That's a start. Cause you know what, the, you know what you got to think of, because we've been blessed with awesome weather. It's now you got kids home. And then you got the rainy days. Yep. You need the golden tee for rainy days.
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys going to do? I don't know. We just played a major. Just played a four-round major. Hey, let's go. Hey, Open Championship. Let's go that. Another major. You want to do another major? Let's run it back.
Yep. Charlie, tee off at 5 a.m., just like real life.
we'll get Sam Torrance on the Beeb.
That's useful. That's a useful shot there for young Charlie Van Pelt there on one. That's useful.
Why is Sam Torrance on a Zoom? Because
he's announcing our golden tee majors.
It's all we have. We have one box of Magnetiles and a golden tee. We're fine. It'll be fine. It's just so strange. It's just so, so strange. Anything else that we can report on?
Twin practice started tonight for us.
Yep.
We're locked and loaded. Okay. I think actually might be in the same age group. We got a new coach. We're feeling out the process. So we could have some head-to-head battles in the household, which will be didn't go well last year.
I think, didn't we have
youngster might be catching up to the eldest.
That's really complicated.
Yeah. Because you know, like I never, like I was thinking back, like my brother was a bunch of years, probably 5 years older than me. And growing up, could never, ever beat him in basketball, ever. And I think I got to seventh grade. He probably was a sophomore in college. And I finally beat him, and we never played again.
That's it.
That was it.
That'll do it.
There wasn't words spoken, I don't think, ever about it again. But God damn, did that feel good.
I bet it did.
I'll never forget that day. And it was like balls put away for life. Never again.
Okay, but I want you to picture, what if your middle daughter gets your oldest like at 10? You got to keep swimming. That's going to be tricky.
Well, it's better this way, because the older one's not as intense as the middle one. But waiting in the wings is a maniac that's chomping at the bit. We got a couple of years for that. But I think it's going to be good, because the eldest hasn't put her – she doesn't put as much pressure on herself as
good. Good.
Yeah.
That's the we talked about this, I think, the first year that we went deep in the dad pod space, about having like that anxiety about needing to win. And and that's all internal. I mean, there's like, I'm not that guy. I'm not, you got to win.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, no, good luck. Swim to the end of the pool. Just try your best. I'll be waiting in the other. I'm going to pick you up if you're first, last, or the middle. And it's like, wow, where does that come from? That's where parenting is the most fascinating thing in the world. Is, you know, you think you treat everybody the same, but I'm sure you don't, right? You definitely love them the same, which is as much as you possibly could. But how they react to you and how they react to their surroundings are all entirely different. And it's such a fascinating struggle. You just try your absolute best.
It's impossible to remember back then. I was laughing at myself driving to work yesterday. And I was like, did I ask as many questions as my kids did when I was little?
There's no chance you did, because I wasn't lucky enough to meet your dad, but the descriptions you make, like, your dad was like an 80s dad. Like, he was a dad of a different time, where
you weren't
supposed to ask 100 questions. Let's just put it that way. Am I right?
Nor were you given the opportunity to ask 100 questions.
That's what I'm saying. You would have gotten,
like,
the door was shut,
I'm sure. But I just think about like his thought process of like, all right, this is going to end right now, and it's not going to happen again. Whereas, you know, we're sitting at home and it's just nonstop. And the 3-year-olds at that point where they just never stop.
No.
Where'd mommy go? She went to the store. Is she going to come back? Yes,
I think she said she would.
She might take a little longer to have a little time away from you, but yes, she'll be back.
And let's be honest, I think we all understand, you know, that if wifey, if she's supposed to go from A to B and then back to, and if she works in an A to B and then maybe a C, D, E, F, G. I got it.
It happens. I understand.
1,000,000%. How many times do you catch him sitting in the car in the garage just thinking like, I know I have to go in there, but when I do, I'm just not prepared for the barrage of it's mommy ? What?
The best was a couple weeks ago. It was she went to Target. She's like, I'll be right back. She got home. God only knows B, C, and D were in the middle.
Right.
And one of the kids says, mommy, did you go to Target in Connecticut?
I did not. I've just been sitting in the driveway, sweetheart, just praying for the strength to make it to dinner. Whew, boy. That's the good stuff there.
Oh, man.
That's free, everybody. Free of charge here on the old podcast network. The youngsters, again, always the youngsters. Someday, you'll understand what your buddy Steve and Scott were talking about. And you'll be like, oh, that was it, huh? Yep.
One of my favorite things before we get out of here, I ask you, because I know you don't watch it. What did you take away from the Twitterverse on the season finale of Succession?
That it everyone thought it was great television. And it's apparently the Roy family, like they never changed or evolved. They were always just terrible people. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
All right. I did one of those things where I said, yeah, you know, I haven't seen it. And then I read like it was only like 40 hours. I'm like, 40, that seems like I could catch up on that. But then I'm like, you know what? I don't have a cable service that I really even know how to find anything where I currently. I don't know how anything works.
I'll text you some sign-ins. We'll get you hooked up with the apps.
Bingo. When we get to the new place and I know how stuff works,
then there we'll go.
I probably won't do that.
Orioles will be on.
There we You'll go. Be good. I'll watch. Or I'll just be answering. If you had a dollar for every time the daddy question mark was said, how many dollars would you have? Like Jeff Bezos.
More than I have now, I'll say that.
Yeah. We could buy teams. That's fine. That's fine. Everyone's just trying their best. Have a good whatever today is, and we'll be back at it again next week here on SV Pod.